Welcome to a Neuroscience episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
Agent 70 is providing audio sound effects because Google Hangouts wanted to take away his sound effects.
That's right, man. What's going on, people? Yay!
So it's a two-man booth tonight, at least for now. Hopefully others will be joining us. PCN_dirt is busy with the kids, and Classic Material is MIA.
Boo. I need a sound effect for that.
Yeah. Speaking of MIA, the Miami Heat are taking on the San Antonio Spurs in Game 7 of the NBA Finals right now. So we both have that on in the background.
That's right.
We'll be tuning in once our show ends. But, so, yeah, welcome to the Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G.
Yay!
Good job. And, of course, go to the website, theclicknation.com, where you can find all previous podcasts.
Chang, chang!
The Click Nation podcast, the Comic Book Chronicles podcast, comic book reviews and previews and news. So check that out. And also check out Dirt's website, popculturenetwork.com.
Ka-ching.
Find the same information. He actually posts a little bit more than I do because I believe he has other people helping him on the website.
Yeah, he's got staff. I think we need some interns at the Click Nation now.
I'm saying some people need something. But also follow the group Twitter account at the Click Nation and follow the individual accounts as you see on the screen here. I'm at Tim DOGG98. And what is yours, Agent 70?
Oh, I better turn it on. It's at Agent_70.
There you go. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation for the fan page. And also there's a community you can follow, The Click Nation Community. On iTunes and Stitcher Radio, search for The Click Nation. And if you have some email or feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And final shout out to comicrelated.com, which also hosts some of our comic book related podcasts. And you can also check out other comic podcasts on their podcasting network.
Ching, ching.
Chang, chang. So with all that out the way, got a lot of news to discuss tonight.
There's a decent amount this week.
Yeah, and Agent 70 reminded me of one right before the show, so we'll start off with that. Man of Steel last week.
Dun, dun, dun.
We actually said we were going to discuss it, our thoughts on it, when this episode came back up. So that's what we're going to do.
Radio.
Go ahead and describe your experience at the movies first while I let people on Twitter know that we're live now.
Sure. Well, I came into the movie with medium level expectations. I actually read a couple of spoilerish reviews that had good and bad things to say about the movie. So, you know, I came in with really tempered expectations, and I came away with, you know, a pretty good sense of the movie, but there were definitely a bunch of, you know, criticisms I had of the overall tone of the movie. And that was really the biggest thing. You know, it just seemed very down, you know, it wasn't very, you know, uplifting at all. You know, it was a sort of, you know, it was, you know, I hate to call it like 90s grim and gritty, you know, but that's what it very much reminded me of. I'm like, am I watching a Punisher movie? That's what it felt like sometimes.
I made sure to stay away from any reviews and discussions of the movie. So thankfully I wasn't spoiled with anything. And I saw it Friday night, saw it at a brand new theater here in town. The theater just opened last Wednesday.
Wow.
So
Wednesday, no gum last, under the seats, plastic floors.
Last Wednesday and Thursday, they were showing just like discounted movies of some older movies like Oblivion and G.I. Joe Retaliation and stuff like that. I guess probably just give the staff like on-the-job training with a smaller crowd. But yeah, it was kind of packed in there for that Friday. And then people still... It was kind of packed, but then people still weren't aware that the theater was open, so it wasn't too bad. They have like this whole convoluted setup of ordering your food and getting your popcorn here. You had to get okay. So I'll back up a little bit. Since it was a new theater, they were running a promotion on Facebook. Like you could tweet or Facebook something saying, "I'm going to Universal's Cinema 16 and the first 1,000 people to show that whatever Facebook or tweet on site, the first 1,000 got a free voucher for popcorn." So of course I made sure to like their Facebook page and send out a status update with that. So I got to the concession stand. We had already bought our tickets online, so I got to the concession stand, asked about the free voucher for popcorn. They said we had to go to around the corner and talk and show the status to the, I guess, the manager. So we did that, got the voucher for a voucher that I then had to take back to the concession stand to get a small bag of popcorn to then take to the popcorn station and get and had them fill it up with the popcorn.
Yikes.
And also,
like you said, that's convoluted.
And they also serve, like, real food. When I say real food, I mean, like, burgers and pizza and chicken wings and chicken tenders. So me and the girlfriend, we got we ordered just – because we didn't have time to eat dinner, unfortunately, beforehand. So we were like, we'll just share a thing of chicken tenders until the movie's over, and then we can get something else afterwards. So we ordered the chicken tenders at the counter at the concession stand. But then we had to take our ticket over to next to the popcorn station because they had like someone they had like a little ticketing system where you had to hand your ticket over and then so they take it to the back and then prepare your meal, which was also confusing because once you gave your ticket over with like your number and whatnot, it's like how would they know whose food was whose?
Wow!
They just had to come out and say like who had the chicken tenders or who had the 2 orders of pizza.
Wow. That's confusing.
Then it was taking a little while because, like I said, it was, you know, grand opening. And some people were missing didn't want to miss the preview. So they were, like, jotting down people's seat numbers and what they
were. To deliver it?
To deliver it.
Wow.
Which is what we did.
That's like class, man.
Yeah, so, okay, so it's like it's the GTX Theater. I need to pull up, like, all the description of what fanciness this theater has. It has everything except IMAX, which sucked.
Oh yeah, I was about to say that's sort of
it's like a five-story screen, luxury seats with leather seats that rocked.
Leather.
Yeah.
Wow.
And actually, every theater has the leather seats, but some theaters they have designated as like GTX Extreme or something like that,
which and is like IMAX for the poor person.
Yeah.
And like some the poor theaters, man's IMAX.
Some theaters you had to reserve your seats and others you didn't. And so you had to like pay more to reserve. So we actually reserved our seats. Like we had to go on the website when we ordered and
so you don't get like stuck.
Yeah, we picked our two seats, like sort of in the middle. We were in the second row from the end, or second row from the back, the top of the theater, which was pretty nice. And theater actually wasn't packed because, like I said, people probably didn't know the theater was open, and there were so many seats to choose from, so there was a lot of space. And then it was playing on like four different screens, like two 3D and then two regular. So the movie started, of course, and like with an hour into the movie, I'm sitting there thinking in my mind, I was like, yep, they lost that order.
No.
But then like during the trailers, which they screwed the trailers up, but you could see them bringing people their food, but they never came up to our area to bring us ours. But then like during the movie, a lady did come up, and she came up. She asked if we were the burger people. I whispered, we had the chicken tenders.
Oh my goodness.
And she was like, she said, okay, I'll go back and get it. So she went back, and then like 20 minutes later, she came back up, and she actually brought us two of them. So it was like chicken tenders and fries in both baskets. So we got an extra basket free.
And that's unbelievable.
Yeah, she was saying that she thought that she said she didn't see us before when I guess she had came in originally looking for us to give us the original chicken tenders and didn't see us, which I don't understand because if they wrote our seat numbers down, they should have just gotten up to – we were in row M, and I think it was only two – us and another couple were the only ones in the row M, so – But I did get a lot of free stuff because, like, I got the free popcorn. It was a small bag of popcorn for showing my status. Got a bunch of koozies, drink koozies. And then I entered a contest to win a Coca-Cola prize pack, which I got a call yesterday, and I did win.
Oh, yay! Congratulations.
So, see, you actually give your name and phone number for these contests, and you never know, you might win.
There
so I went and picked it up yesterday. It was basically I chose the tote bag, like this big tote bag with some more koozies and some other stuff. So that was the experience of the new theater. And haven't even talked about Man of Steel yet.
Exactly. Well, here it is. Now you set up the stage. Now let's hear what you had to say about the movie.
I just flew my flip-flop off my foot. Got it. Okay, so I like Man of Steel. I only had three gripes. Of course, spoilers for people that don't know.
Yeah, spoilers are officially on right now. Spoilers.
We tend to spoil things on this podcast.
Well, I don't care. It's already been almost a week.
I don't care if it's a week old or if the comic just came out yesterday. We're still talking about it on here.
That's right. It's officially warned.
That's probably why we have low viewership. But anyway, I only had three gripes. I love the action. I'll say that much to start. The action was great. It was... finally a Superman movie where he's finding someone on his level and it's not just mind games with Lex Luthor.
Agreed. Or fighting against Kryptonite or shielding himself from Kryptonite.
Yeah. None of that nonsense. But I'm going to see if I can remember my three gripes. One was the end, him killing Zod.
Agreed. End.
That kind of threw me for like a Oh yeah, another one was Pa Kent having his Uncle Ben moment to like inspire Superman. It's like he wasn't gonna do good in the world until after his Pa Kent passed away, and he just stood there and watched. At least Spider-Man wasn't he wasn't there when Uncle Ben was shot. It's like if that was my dad, even though he's sitting there shaking his head at me like, "No son, let me die."
Right, and you can move at the speed. You can move at super speed.
Yeah,
maybe these people wouldn't notice.
He could have used his super breath, a super blown.
That was the one power that he doesn't. That he doesn't show. So, I mean, you got a third gripe, and then we'll go into my gripes, which are all similar.
I don't even know if I remember the third.
All right, let's go to yours. Let's do the two. Let's do the two that you just brought up. Okay, so let's start with Pa Kent. This was pretty much my biggest gripe, and it was my biggest gripe from the trailers. They went, that part where he goes, where Clark says, "What should I have done? Let them all die?" And he's like, "Maybe." And Pa Kent's like, "Maybe." And I'm like, "What? Like, really? Your secret, your super secret identity is that important? That you're not going to help people who need it?" When you can help them, with your super duper powers?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? This is not the message that any iteration of Pa Kent has ever given. You know, like, I don't know. I didn't watch Smallville that much. I don't know if that's what John Schneider's, you know, portrayal of Pa Kent was like. I don't know. But, you know, because I think, you know, that's probably the most well-known kind of adaptation of, like, him coming up in Smallville, right? So I don't know if that's where they're getting that from or not. You know, because, you know, in this day and age of, like, the internet and all that stuff, yeah, I guess people, you know, are afraid of, you know, what would happen if his identity got, you know, got discovered and the information was out there and running amok, you know, around the world. You don't need to be a supervillain to do that anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe that's where they're getting that from. But ultimately, I couldn't, like you said, I couldn't understand why he couldn't save Pa Kent somehow. You know, he's just like, no.
And then just like screamed.
Yeah, I'm like, seriously? That's all, you know, that was pretty much my, you know, that's pretty much my biggest gripe. You know, if I'm not mistaken, most of the versions of Pa Kent that I've read, you know, Superman's been rebooted a bazillion times already, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the versions I read is that Pa Kent dies of a heart attack. And it's supposed to show Clark that despite all of his almost godlike powers, he can't do anything about a heart attack. He can't do anything to solve this particular part of the human condition.
Yeah, it's like the one thing his powers can't stop.
Right, exactly. So ultimately, that's supposed to be part of one of his lessons. And that's, you know, they take that away. Instead, you know, what I found pretty hard to grasp is that, you know, they sort of take away his parents' role in teaching him these moral values. When they kind of give it to Jor-El instead of the Kents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's like this otherworldly set of moral values that he eventually comes to uphold, or, you know, like that are inspired by his Kryptonian father, as opposed to the Middle America, you know, salt of the earth type of people in Kansas. Right. So I did not agree with that. I was not keen on that. I agree again with the Zod. I think it's been beaten to death online.
What's up with the villains having to die at the end of these movies?
Right.
They didn't do that with, off the top of my head, was the Joker and the Dark Knight. And then that didn't even matter since
he actually died, right?
Yeah, Heath Ledger actually died.
That's I'm willing to bet, because the Joker is almost eternal, that's pretty much why they didn't kill him. You know, and besides, with Bane, there's no body. You know, he got shot with the missile, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I think it was because the Joker is eternal. You know, that's basically why they didn't kill him. You know, I was confused why they did that with Two-Face. That was pointless.
Yeah, you like know, all these villains, there's no need to kill them at the end. Right. They can, like, go to jail or do the same thing that happens in the comic books where, like, you think they're in another dimension, they fall off a cliff and you don't see the body or something.
Exactly. You know, like, they're banished to the Phantom Zone. I think that's what a lot of people were thinking was going to happen. But then that would be pretty much a clone of Superman 2. You know, the second Christopher Reeve Superman movie, so... You know, maybe they were going, you know, away from that. Again, I think it was just a cheap, you know, it was a cheap ploy to develop Superman's character, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to show that, oh, okay, he kills us one time, and then he's going to have regret and not do it ever again. And I'm like, well, you're supposed to not kill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're supposed to not do that. So, I don't know. It's weird. And you know what? There's a line in one of this week's books that Thor says that made me think of Man of Steel, and it's kind of funny. And when we get to that book, if I remember which book it is, I'll mention it. But, you know, not to spoil too many things at once. But let me see if I can think of something else I wasn't so happy about Man of Steel.
Well, while you're thinking of that, I'll read a comment from Adam Black. Sure. He says, for real, the Pa Kent moment, I nearly teared up. It was so sad. Plus, in the 80s, Superman did kill the Zod of a pocket universe using kryptonite, so it did happen before. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I read something like that. It was just
weird. Yeah, that's how a lot of people mentioned that online. It's like, yeah, Superman killed before. I guess he also killed Zod in one of the original Superman movies, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he let him drop after they basically depower him. They let him drop into, like, a bottomless pit, and he does it with a smile.
you know, I don't remember those movies because they were Superman. So I've seen bits and pieces of them as a kid.
Believe me, even as a kid, they were kind of hard to watch. Don't even get me started on the Saran wrap Superman S shield that he throws. It's awful.
Yeah, I'm definitely not trying to go back and watch them now. So
it's tough to watch. That's tough to watch. But I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I can't remember. I remember it's distinctly there being three things I had problems with in the movie. I'm sure if I had something to do with like Lois or something. But I mean, she was fine. I saw some people complaining about Amy Adams' performance as Lois Lane.
I didn't think she was bad.
I'm trying to think, was it her or was it all the property damage and probably the dead people in the buildings?
You've seen, there's been a couple of internet memes that have popped up. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I've seen them.
Where, where Superman is talking to the Avengers. He's like, it took six of you to stop an alien invasion. And I think it's Tony Stark who says, well, technically it was only two. The other four were saving people and trying to prevent as much property damage by keeping it into a small, containing the violence in a small section of the city. And, I don't know. Technically, I read a couple of defenses of Superman online. It is his first adventure. It's really his first time using his powers in like a combat setting. So he probably just doesn't, how many fights has this kid really got into, really? He spent his whole life avoiding them.
And then there's the infographic saying like estimating the property damage.
Yeah.
Which is like, what was it, something billion, I think?
Well, I mean, the New York one was billions and billions too in Avengers.
Yeah.
All those big buildings getting knocked over in Midtown. So.
Shit happens.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I remember one particular gripe, and this is coming from a New Yorker, right, who was here for 9/11. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of scenes that were just a little too close to, especially if Perry White, Morpheus from the Matrix, and some planet staffers running away from some of the collapsing buildings were a little too reminiscent of 9/11. That's my particular gripe. I was not a fan of some of the imagery that they evoked, and I kind of got offended by that. But that's definitely from a New Yorker's perspective, because I remember that. I kind of zoned out a little bit there, and I didn't appreciate the imagery, but. I kept telling myself it's a movie, and it's been a while, so some creators kind of feel like they can take liberties with that. So mm-hmm.
I think maybe the other thing I didn't like was, it might have been the fight in Smallville or how it seemed like everyone,
product placement.
Product placement.
The IHOP sign that they kept flashing past.
It's like. Shouldn't everyone in Smallville know that he was Superman? Like, even the kids that he, when he was a kid and all that stuff that happened.
Oh, that's another. You just made me think of something else. But I don't know. I guess they hit it. That's why he left and went on Deadliest Catch to become a craft fisherman.
I did like the Gladiator as Jor-El.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. Like I said, I think they gave him the meat of the morality teaching, because they wanted to give Russell Crowe something to act with. That's just that's my two cents. You just made me think of the whole secret identity thing, right?
Yeah.
How is he able to keep his secret identity from anyone at all? They've already seen him, close up. He doesn't grow up wearing the glasses.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's why they went ahead and got the whole Lois knowing his identity out the way.
Yeah.
It's like, he's just putting glasses on. So
it kind of
looks like the same person.
Right. But at the same time, it's something that you just brought up. Like 3/4 of Smallville would know who he was.
Yeah. Everyone should know. Especially after like the whole city's ransacked and the farm.
Exactly. The cops that took that took Lois to the Kent farm. No.
Yeah.
I don't know. Secret identities. What secret identities? I wish. If Eclectic is around or Eclectic is listening, secret identities, man. They just hate them. They hate them in these movies now.
Yeah, it's not like he has a mask to wear.
Seriously. So
it must be like Tony Stark and just come out and say you're Iron Man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's, you know, there's a, like I said, there's a couple of like small gripes. I liked a lot of the action. Like you said, you know, I agree with you. It was about time that they did a full on Superman versus somebody roughly equal to his powers fight.
Who does he take on in the sequel? I wonder. I guess Luthor.
They're gonna do Luthor and Doomsday, maybe.
Yeah, but it's gotta be two.
Yeah, I think it's
gonna be Parasite or something, maybe.
Maybe. They gotta find a way to kill him.
Doomsday since Doom or Brainiac.
Yeah.
Brainiac be kind of.
I'm surprised they didn't. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised they didn't tease a little bit of Brainiac in the Krypton stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because in some versions of the Superman origin, they tease a lot of Brainiac on Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so.
I want to know, so, because I don't read Superman.
Well, no, you know what? I don't get a lot of my my information from the Superman comics, per se. I'm going off of the animated series. I'm going off of the movies. I'm going off of some of the comments. So.
Got a hang now. Anyway. So that's our Man of Steel thoughts. I think we spent enough time on that.
Yeah. We welcome everyone's thoughts on Man of Steel. Hit us up on Twitter and the website.
Add us or comment on somewhere. Hopefully I'll see it.
Yeah. The chat room if you're online.
So more. Actually, next three I like are movie-related. Disney claims Marvel films for 2016 and 2017. There's no info stating what those movies will be, but Marvel just claimed two dates. And I think they're both in May. Let me actually open the article here. Without it hopefully taking too long. Oh, so Dork Geekus says a Bizarro who isn't mentally retarded would be a good villain. I forgot about Bizarro.
That would be interesting.
Okay, so
it would put Bizarro Mr. Mixoplick.
Mixoplick.
That would be interesting.
So Disney revealed dates for two as of yet untitled Marvel Studio films, May 6th, 2016 and May 5th, 2017. So yeah, they, you know, May is always the launch of the summer blockbusters, so they want to stay on that path.
Yeah, they want to keep a stranglehold on that early May launch to try to keep those Marvel movies coming. You know, right around that same time, so people are looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Dork Geekus also says a Bizarro created by Luthor. And programmed to think like him, kind of like Thaylog from Gargoyles. Oh, yeah. Thaylog was just Goliath spelled backwards.
That's right.
You can always get me with the Gargoyles references.
No kidding. You know what? Just real off topic real quick. I missed a lot of Gargoyles, but I loved what I was able to watch.
Yeah, they need to put on instant streaming.
It's a Disney property. They should, you know, it shouldn't be hard.
I think you can get the DVDs for it, but they don't have it streaming.
Right.
At least as far as I know, as far as the research I've done, since I don't have Netflix.
Gotcha.
And see, I think
that up. That needle,
yeah, I always got to mention it.
All right.
Adam Black wants to try to join, so we'll try this again. Let's add his name. Okay, so that's one piece of news. Next one is there's going to be no Mary Jane in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes, they just announced this.
Yep, they changed their mind. They're going to push her back to Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Right. Hello, the Adam Black.
He's probably not ready yet.
Come in, the Adam Black.
So they decided they want to focus more on the characters they already have and probably flesh out the Gwen Stacy stuff. And as Classic told me on Twitter, you know, especially if they plan on killing her off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they do plan on killing her off. I think that Emma Stone has already hinted in a couple of interviews that that's probably where this is all going. She knows where it's all going. So
yeah, she should.
Right. So I guess that what they're going to do is is drag it out and slowly introduce Mary Jane. Because I guess if they killed off Gwen in the second movie, what would be in the third? And I think that they would possibly kill off Gwen maybe in the middle of the third after they introduce Mary Jane. And that gives them a nice little trilogy.
Well, I think they said that they've only filmed it. Are you there, Adam Black?
Hey, what's up?
Hey!
Can you...
Vil, come in.
Hear me?
Yeah.
Good.
But they've only filmed a little...
It's going all right.
A little footage with Mary Jane in it, so they'll probably end up... I don't know if they'll keep it or not, but if she isn't even into it, it'll be a small role.
Right, it might just be a quick cameo teasing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts on Man of Steel?
Oh, me?
Yes.
All right. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I thought it was okay. I didn't mind, the Zod getting murked was a shock, but I thought I was like, well, he. I think they established a good reasoning behind it, and then you also have the fact that he's alone again. There was someone that was just like him, and now he killed him, and now he's truly alone again, and he sent all the other people away to the Phantom Zone. So did y'all read the article about where Goyer added that part into it?
What part?
About the killing?
Originally, it was just... yeah.
Right, because Nolan... I read an article that Nolan didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they kind of talked them into it, and it worked out, I think.
I think it worked out. I just didn't, I don't know if you caught what I was saying earlier, but I felt like I was watching a Punisher movie for a lot of the movie. It just felt like it just felt dreary, like there was no joy in Smallville. Forget Mudville, right? There was no joy anywhere.
I think that's the Christopher Nolan effect.
Yeah, seriously, it must be. It was so like lacking in any kind of happiness anywhere. So,
Variant Dash says supposedly Black Cat is in part two. Mary Jane would bring the love interests up to three.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I did see something yesterday, wondering if Black Cat was going to be in it. Felicity, somebody. They were saying it's Felicity, whatever her last name was. Is she going to be Black Cat in Amazing Spider-Man 2?
That's interesting.
I want more Black Cat in my comics, too, by the way.
Listen, they've been shutting down Midtown Manhattan, like Madison, in the 30s for the last couple of weeks. Like, it's been hectic. Traffic's been hectic because they're shutting it down for... They keep calling it, what was the code name for it? London Calling. You walk up to these movie people that are blocking off the streets, like, yeah, it's a movie, London Calling, be out next year. It's like, I know it's Spider-Man. Stop lying, So they're definitely at it right now.
And more movie news, or actually, last bit of movie news is Robert Downey Jr. signs a 2-year picture deal with Marvel for Avengers 2 and 3 today.
Yay!
So everyone can. Come off the
ledge. Breathe a sigh of relief.
Tony Stark isn't going anywhere. He's doing Avengers 2 and 3, which is fine. We don't need any more Iron Man movies for now.
Yeah, for now.
Just have him show up in Avengers.
And yeah, maybe leader. Make cameo appearances. I don't know if that'll be part of the picture deal or not, but...
Probably not. Got to pay him for that.
That's true. He's getting paid a lot. He's probably going to get paid a boatload, man. He's been paid a boatload. He's been paid out of the proceeds, gross.
The question is, are they going to raise the salaries for the other Avengers? Probably not.
Nope, those fuckers got locked down.
Supposedly, like they were saying, Downey might try to negotiate, try to get them some more money.
Yeah, like friend style.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I want my colleagues to get more money.
Or else they'll resent them.
Right.
Don't want that.
Or there'll probably be one more screen time or something.
Right.
Let's see. Okay, so more news.
We do comic news?
What is this? Oh, yeah. I had to read the headline again. I was like, what is this? Spidey's sister revealed in Wade and Robinson's Spider-Man Family Business original graphic novel.
Dun, dun, dun.
So they have the Warren Ellis Avengers wartime graphic novel, original graphic novel coming out, and now Mark Wade and James Robinson are doing a Spider-Man one.
It looks interesting. It's painted.
Yeah, I like the artist. I guess I could click that.
It's Gabriel Delato.
Yeah. Is he the one that drew Secret good. War?
Yes.
Yes. War singular, right?
Yes.
I need to pick up that trade paperback or hardcover.
It's worth it. I wasn't a fan of the whole idea of Secret War, but I picked it up as a trade, like, you know, like while it was on sale, and it was definitely worth it. So, like, the next Comic-Con you go to, just pick up the trade, you know, like somebody will be selling it at a discount.
Yeah, I'm going to jot that down while we're talking, because or else I forget to do it.
Yeah. But, all right, so, you know, it'll be revealed, you know, it's revealed that Spidey has not a twin sister, but a sister of a similar age, and they get into all sorts of shenanigans. She's basically, like, the opposite of, like, nerdy Peter Parker.
Yeah,
she, according to the article, it says Wade describes her as she's the anti-Peter. She's got it all together. She's smooth as silk. She's modestly blazed. You know, I don't get that last reference, but that just makes her sound very cool. Maybe too cool for school, but.
And let's see if I can click this link and see when it's actually going to be out. And for some reason, Comic Book Resources keeps changing their links or something, because every time I try to open some of their stuff during the show that I've saved, page cannot be found.
May 2014.
Yeah.
May 2014.
Like a while from now.
Yep. It's going to be a while. Well, Delato takes a while to paint, so he's probably just a couple pages, you know, maybe a few pages in. And if it's an OGN, they're going to want to make it a good, you know, 30-some pages, maybe 40.
Yeah. Okay. Superman, Wonder Woman book was announced. Batman, Superman comes out next week, I believe, if I remember correctly. And now this is coming in October.
Is this going to be a romance comic? Seriously?
I don't know what it's going to be.
Seriously? Is this going to be a
romance? Written by Charles Soule and Tony Daniel.
I'm saying, like, who is Charles Soule, whatever?
He's been doing a lot more DC stuff nowadays. He's on Swamp Thing, I believe. And he's riding Red Lanterns. He will be riding Red Lanterns. And now this.
I mean,
hopefully Red Lanterns won't suck.
Right.
I won't know. I won't be reading it. Actually, I told him on Twitter I might try his. Oh, he's also riding Thunderbolt. He's the new Thunderbolts rider. Okay. That's what I told him I was going to try, because I can't stand Thunderbolts in his current incarnation. Even though they got a better artist with Odo.
Adam Black Adam Black is my contemporary. Unlike our host Tim DOGG. Now we both go back to when, you know, Superman and Batman did World's Finest. That was the original World's Finest. I don't recall this ever being a concept. Superman teaming up with Wonder Woman for a book. So if there's one good thing coming out of New 52 is that they are actually doing something new. And, you know, this seems, you know, I don't know if this is going to be a romance comic or not, but at least they're doing something that's different.
Yeah.
I see,
you know, it's like Batman and Robin. It probably eventually will have a shelf life and it won't be an ongoing series anymore. Because they won't be together forever.
Probably so.
But for now,
eventually he may get with Lois.
Yeah, they can hold off on that for now.
Yeah, I think they're going to hold off on that for a long time.
It's funny, like the only Superman books that seem appealing to me are the team-up books. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and I guess Superman Unchained, which is the only like solo ongoing book that I'll try and read for now.
Really?
Just because
you're trying to keep up with it?
Jim Lee
and Snyder are on it. That's the only reason.
Okay.
And Dirt Geeker says Way, referring to Daniel Way, has that effect on books. As far as me dropping the Thunderbolts.
Given.
All right, and let's see, you got some more.
Yeah, either I think the I was going to say the opinion I've gotten about Daniel Way is that either people love him or they cannot stand him for some reason.
Yeah, if I like everyone's faces and heads to look the same and have the same god awful expression on their face.
Oh, are we talking about the art or are we talking about the writing? Daniel Way
was the writer, wasn't he?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Steve Dillon is the one I don't like.
Yeah, Steve Dillon. We're talking about Steve Dillon.
Yeah, Daniel Way, the writing sucked on Thunderbolts 2.
Yeah, see, I remember Daniel Way when I guess he made his like kind of big Marvel splash. Remember he was doing Wolverine Origins?
Yeah.
I think that was Daniel Way. And it petered out after a while. Like it started out good and it just didn't go anywhere.
Well, it never revealed anything. I think they revealed maybe a couple things, but it never really went anywhere. That's how I always felt about Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's pretty much what I was getting at. So I don't know what else he's written that, you know, nothing that he's written has really crossed my desk. So I can't say what else I know him from.
DC teases Lights Out in October Green Lantern titles.
I guess they got to do something now that Geoff Johns not there.
And this isn't a sprawling crossover. It's only going to take place for 1 month in all four Green. Well, it's five now with the LARF release, I guess, out. Whatever Green Lantern books come out a month, they'll be crossing over into those books. So they haven't released any info of what exactly it will be, but they just said at least the length of it. And final bit of news, Justice League 3000 was announced by, let's see if this comic book resources link opens. Nope, I'm done copying and pasting.
I'll help you out. No, you're going to have to, you know what, you have to clip the whole article.
I clipped the original article when it pops up, but they've
Don't clip the URL. Just clip the entire article page. And save the entire article.
No, I don't do it that way.
I'll give you a hand.
I try to put everything in the same note in Evernote.
I gotcha. So, now we're going to go into a whole diatribe on how we use Evernote differently. So Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, and Kevin Maguire, and old school DC fans are going to recognize this particular creative team from the Bwahaha era of Justice League, and Guy Gardner getting knocked out by Batman with one punch. Mm-hmm. So
one punch.
Yes, one punch. So basically, this is them telling a future story of the Justice League, and it's going to be self-contained. Howard Porter is doing character designs. If you go onto this article on Comic Book Resources, it'll show you some of the character designs. They look, you know, fairly sleek, fairly streamlined. And what else? It's not so. I guess what they're saying is that you don't have to be all that familiar with like future DC stories, like Legion of Superheroes stuff. You can just jump into this right away and get the gist of it. It still has Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and the Flash.
Yeah, so I'll be picking this up because it looks interesting. I never read a Legion book, so I have no association with those characters. This I'll read.
All righty. I might read it. I might read it for academic purposes. Our reviews here. That's about it. That's what I'm saying.
I think it may be interesting, so I'll probably at least read the first issue.
Okay. Yeah, I'll read the first run. Actually, I'll read probably more than that if it's entertaining. And supposedly these guys are good combo. So, why not?
Hopefully it's a good story. Any other news?
And that was it for news.
Well, there's going to be news coming out of one of the reviews for this week, so we'll just jump into the reviews, I guess, huh?
Yeah, let me bring up comiclist.com. sitting here having a Twitter convo with Dork Geekus and Variant Dash about Black Cat. I still want a Black Cat ongoing series. If Catwoman can have an ongoing, why can't Black Cat?
That's not a bad point. I think that's a good point.
Okay, so...
But you know, what Avengers team are they going to put her on? They have to put her on an Avengers team to try to boost sales.
Put her on Fearless Defenders, which will probably needs to be like be renamed like something Avengers.
Yeah, to buy Chick it. Avengers, yeah, or something like that.
Let's see, I'm jumping down to... I'm going to skip Boom Studios because I doubt anyone read anything from them. Dark Horse, I want to mention one book. And that would be, where is it? Oh, yeah, Captain Midnight number 0.
I didn't get to this. You read it?
Yes, I did. And supposedly, like, it reprint. I did a preview for it. I meant to do a review and, you know, kind of just didn't have enough time. But it's a number 0 collects some issues from Dark Horse Presents, I guess, of Captain Midnight's adventures. And it, basically, this is 0 issue tells us his origin. And I guess he was like a World War II pilot, fighter pilot, that he disappeared during a fight with the enemy. And he appears in our time. And, like, the government finds him. And they're like, I guess supposedly something bad happened, or they think he's holding secrets that they won't found. And there was a lady that, there's a lady still alive that knew him that actually was on Captain Midnight's team, just a regular lady. And like, I guess she's like passed the story down to her granddaughter who doesn't believe her. And I don't know. I'll check out the first issue when it comes out, which I think comes out in the fall, that actual number one. But, yeah, it was something different from Dark Horse. So that's my independent comic of the week to mention.
Cool.
Let's see.
We didn't get to Dream Thief number 2.
That's from, that's Image, right?
No, Dark Horse.
That came out? Oh, yeah, number 2. What is that? Did you read it?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
They always have some good trade paperbacks in their weekly solicits, but, I mean, that's a lot to read.
Yeah, definitely.
Before a show, at least. So let's get to DC.
Got it.
Batman and Batgirl 21. Anyone give it a read?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I haven't got to it yet.
I read it. It was, it's more fallout from the death of Damian Wayne. You know, in this issue, Batgirl wants to have a heart-to-heart with Batman, and he's just not having it. He's still basically taking out his anger on the lowlifes of Gotham City, and she just wants to have a heart-to-heart with him and find out if he's all right. Apparently, at some point, she took off the yellow bat symbol that was on her uniform, and Batman's just like, oh, I see, took off the symbol. I guess that says everything. And he just, you know, stalks away. You know, at some point, I guess what they're developing is, you know, where Batman's going to be post, you know, post morning. He's in the, you know, one of the five stages, mm-hmm. or a mix of the five stages of mourning. So he's probably in the midst of like anger, grief, denial, all that, all mushed together, depending on which, you know, which story they're going to do. You know, and which supporting character they do. So that's what this book was about. Does it develop much? It develops Batgirl somewhat, more so than Batman. So is it worth the pickup? Probably not, unless you're into, you know, completest Batman stuff.
Is this series continuing after this?
I haven't the foggiest. I'm not sure what's next, if there's another part.
Okay. I don't know if they maybe teased it or not.
I mean, I can double check to see if there's anything in the solicits, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come out if it hasn't already. Let's see. Green Lantern New Guardians number 21, which I read about an hour and a half ago.
What do you think?
It was pretty good. Follows Kyle Rayner, the White Lantern, as he is the guardian of the
guardians.
Yeah, as they go out into the universe to sort of, since they've been like locked up for centuries, they want to go out and explore and not be these like these, you know, these domineering warlords that sit at home at Oa and bark out orders. They need to go.
Even though that's what they do at the end, right?
Well, no, at the end they go off into the end of the universe or something like that. They describe it as, and there's an anomaly out there, and then they find out how everyone in the universe is scared of the Guardians because of what the last Guardians did. They fight some guy that was guarding
the anomaly,
and then the anomaly cracks and opens, and Relic, who I guess is this big huge person.
We got to do our own sound effects today. Yeah. So, that was pretty much the gist of it. I was just referring to this one scene where the Guardians are like, Lantern Rayner, take care of this guy, you know? And he's like, yeah, and Kyle says, oh yeah, you guys are nothing like the old Guardians because they're basically using him to ward off this guy while they go off and explore the anomaly. I thought this was an interesting development in the White Lantern story. You know, it's kind of cool to see them kind of focus a little bit on Kyle Rayner and give him some character development. So, it was interesting. I actually, liked this read because everything seemed kind of fresh. So, if anyone's looking to jump on a Green Lantern, like a Lantern type book, and they're looking for something that's kind of more accessible, I think this is a book to recommend.
I'm still going to lean to the core book because I want to support my man, Van Jensen.
Okay.
Atlanta guy. And Robert Venditti, Atlanta guy, too.
All right.
So, did not know that.
Yes. Because, both of them, if you look on their Twitter profiles, Atlanta, Georgia comes up. And I want to say Van Jensen is actually he's like on the Georgia Tech alumni board or something I happened to come across and saw. But anyway, Green Lantern and Green Lantern Core, I'm going to read New Guardians too, but I'm focusing more on the Core and Green Lantern. I might not even read Lars Flees because I don't care about him.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to read a book where he's running around saying, give me, mine.
But
it's like that old Bugs Bunny Daffy Duck cartoon all over again, right? Mine, no, mine.
And I think Giffen is riding that, isn't he?
Is he?
Because who was riding Threshold?
I think so.
Yeah, because I think he's moving from Threshold Giffen. to Lars Flees.
That's funny.
Okay, so more books. Green, let's see.
Did you read Vibe?
I was about to start right before the show.
I skimmed it.
I was a mess. I skimmed it. What'd you think, Adam Black?
I'm still kind of digging the book. I'm not sure with it being a DC book, I'm not sure how much longer this crap was going to last, but I like the fact he pretty much got his ass handed to him by the Suicide Squad. Like I said, I skimmed it, so I still need to really get into it. But you've got the mystery of who Gypsy is, and he's just trying to protect her, but then he winds up getting stuck in the place that he was. I think everyone was kind of worried that he would be at the end of the issue. So, so you said you didn't like it, Agent. Ain't just the whole story or just everything?
It's probably because I did skim it, and I did appreciate that you know, the Suicide Squad was sent out to kind of bring this guy in. You know, kind of what they did was they treated him as a rogue agent. And maybe I just don't appreciate how, you know, what what Amanda Waller's, you know, like behind the scenes machinations are with Vibe right now. So what I did like was the Suicide Squad coming in and, like you said, you know, handing this kid his butt. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I'm not sure where the story's going at this point. You know, sort of like, what's the point of introducing this? You know, it's showing that he can be, you know, that he can go rogue, or giving him a reason to maybe doubt Amanda Waller's intentions. Maybe that's what they're doing.
I think so too.
PC, I remember Dirt saying he didn't like the last issue either. So there's two bad reviews.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was hard to follow. I mean, it was easy. It wasn't that hard to follow. But then once they got out of the battle scenes, I kind of drifted through the last couple of pages, just skimming it. So,
okay, Supergirl 21 and Wonder Woman 21.
No chance. No chance to
no.
Cool. All right. Let's see. Dynamite had a bunch of stuff come out. Actually, this looks like the same book listed over and over again. Okay, skipping down to...
Oh, it's Evil Ernie number 6 with all the variants.
Yeah.
And Vampirella Strikes number 6
yeah, Vampirella with all Strikes.
The variants.
Okay. IDW had some books I want to read. I haven't got to them yet. And I want to say last couple of weeks I haven't got to them. Like Danger Girl Trinity number 3. I don't think I've read 2 yet. I read the first one. It was kind of all right. If you care about the Danger Girl cast, who some people probably don't even know who they are. G.I. Joe number 5 came out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Villain Micro Series number 3 of 4.
I have it. I haven't had a chance to read it.
I'm trying to get into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle world, so going to be giving that a chance. Oh, and, yeah, another book, Wild Blue Yonder number 1.
I skimmed this.
After I read Vibe, because that's next up in my list.
This would be my non-superhero comic book of the week. This was actually well-drawn, well-executed, and oh, you know, when I say well executed, it's just the writing and and the coloring and all that stuff is very well put together. This is definitely worth a second look and a second issue, I think, the next time this comes out.
What's a quick gist of the book?
Well, basically, it's you know, the latest in a long line of post-apocalyptic type books and stories and movies where, you know, the surface part of the Earth is all screwed up, and so everyone has to go up into the clouds. So, you know, basically people are living above the cloud line, and that's sort of where all the shenanigans start. So people are flying back and forth. That gives the story a reason to have lots of flying battles. And it's pretty good. The art is pretty well done.
Okay. So it's one of those, like I said, post-apocalyptic things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely well executed. And I can give them a lot of props for, it's not like Oblivion where everyone has to leave the Earth, but everyone has to go above a certain level so that they're basically like above the smog, above the pollution and all that stuff. You know, I skimmed it, but at the same time, I got a much better gist of this book than I did Vibe.
Okay.
So I definitely would recommend this book for the non-superhero book of the week.
Cool. I look forward to reading it by sometime tomorrow during lunch.
Cool.
Okay, Image. Didn't really have anything I wanted to read this week. If I was caught up on Invincible, I'd have read Invincible 103, but I'm not.
Nothing on my end. How about you, Adam Black?
Nothing from Image.
Got it.
Sweet. We're going to be done in time to watch the rest of the game. Because now we're
chugging along.
Yeah. There's more. Okay, we'll probably spend.
Well, there's a lot of Marvel stuff out there.
Yeah, we'll probably spend an hour talking about Marvel now. Because Age of Ultron number 10.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, yes.
Series sucks.
All righty. You want to lead us off? You want to lead us off with that?
That's first. You can read my review on theclicknation.com, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So,
I'm neglecting clicking on that. I should be more vigilant about that.
Nah, I let my also voice my grievances on air too, not just in spoken word or written word. So the only saving grace for Age of Ultron is the possibility of the space-time continuum being broken. I love how Wolverine's to blame for everything that goes wrong in the Marvel Universe. Wolverine did it. Wolverine breaks time. Why now time decides to be broken, you know, even though I could name like five different ongoing books that involve time travel right now. But, you know, in Age of Ultron, when, you know, trying to kill Hank Pym does it.
Yeah. All right. So may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you please. Yeah. Okay. Now, I think I've made jokes before. You can always tell that I've written a couple of remarks ahead of time when it comes out very staccato, very quickly. So, okay, what was that? That was my reaction to this whole book. You know, it's kind of nice that the Avengers actually battle Ultron in this book and seemingly end him. You know, that's kind of sad for me, but it's probably for the best if they want to advance Pym's character and prepare him for an Ant-Man movie. You know, what was the point of the Angela introduction? You know, all of space-time is screwy, and now Galactus appears.
Something right? cool to happen.
Right. And now Galactus appears on the Ultimate Marvel World. Dun, dun, dun.
See, I think that originally was what was planned for the end of Age of Ultron was the
space-time. The destruction.
And Galactus crossing over. Angela right. just fell in their lap, and they're like, we got to use her.
You might be right.
This is a good place to put her introduction.
You might be right. You know, and I wonder if this is a precursor to the destruction of the Ultimate Universe.
That's what people are debating and wondering.
Remember, that was a rumor a few months back, was that they were going to cancel the entire Ultimate line. And maybe because someone heard about this story happening, maybe this is where it actually, you know, where that story kind of came up.
They had a Marvel NetSpeak thing live blog event this afternoon where they were discussing the end of Age of Ultron and also the Hunger series from Josh Fialkov and some other person who's doing the art. It was a 4-issue limited series dealing with Galactus in the Ultimate Universe. And I guess like Rick Jones in the Ultimate Universe is like some space cosmic character and he's involved in Silver Surfer and whatever. But supposedly during that conference call, they said, like, you know, big things are planned for the Ultimate Universe. So it's not, I don't think it's not gonna go away at the end of this limited series, but supposedly things are planned, especially because Fialkov is also writing the Ultimates, and that's gonna be kind of involved in things too, seeing as how Kang, a female Kang, just appeared and whatnot. So let's see. I just brought up my review of Age of Ultron so I could list my stuff. I always do a what I liked and what I didn't like. So yeah, what I said, I liked how Wolverine's always blamed for stuff. Oh yeah, and I'm also, of course, interested in seeing what comes of the space-time being broken. And you know, is this how Spider-Man 2099 falls into the 616 universe? Because we saw a glimpse of him as time was being broken, along with a future storyline in Indestructible Hulk where he does some time traveling. Now, what I didn't like...
Is that the one where he's wearing that armor?
Yeah. That's been teased and solicited for a while, that he's going to be doing some time traveling. So what I didn't like... Ultron barely appears in this series at all. It could have been called like Age of Pym or Age of Wolverine. It's more a Wolverine Hank Pym storyline to me, at least right. the latter part of it.
Yeah, but I think it was Dirt that said it best. Would you buy a story that is titled Age of Pym. Would anyone? But, you know, I think I think that
if you're doing an age book, it has to have a villain at the end of it.
Right.
Age of Kang or whatever.
I think they succeeded somewhat in at least showing that Pym isn't, you know, isn't the useless character that we've all made him out to be. So, you know, somewhat. I can't say completely. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of us still remember the whole Yellow Jacket fiasco where he was beating up on, you know, on the Wasp and all sorts of madness, you know? Like, I read, when I was a kid reading that stuff in, like, reprints and like, and stuff like that, I was like, he did what?
Yeah.
You know, because that was a little bit before, you know, Adam Black's in my time, you know? So when we mm-hmm. heard about that in like the little text boxes, you know, like they would caption it, say, oh, you know, this happened in whatever issue. They would flash back to it every now and again. And I'm like, they did what? When? Who? My goodness. You know, that's a lot for a little kid to process. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy in itself. And, you know, Hank Pym, wife beater, you know, exactly. It just doesn't ring.
Right. So they basically had to reboot his character. And I think that's what this was all about. You know, like I said, they're trying to prepare him for an Ant-Man movie and have him like not be so mopey about having created Ultron. Because unfortunately, at least since like the Busiek Perez Avengers from like the late 90s, the mid 90s, where they've made Ultron like a super badass again, they sort of redeemed Pym's character a little bit there, but I guess every time they brought Ultron back, you know, they just made that kind of like emasculated Pym, you know, a little bit every time. So, you know, to have him finally kind of conquer Ultron, at least for a good while, you know, they're probably going to keep Ultron quiet for a good while now so they can develop Pym's character.
Yeah.
That's probably what they needed to do.
More Pym stuff I was going to bring up. So, you know, they've announced Avengers AI. It's supposed to spin out Avengers or Age of Ultron. But to me, there was no, like, transition to it besides, like, one panel of, like, Pym saying, I see what I did wrong.
I think they're going to do that in the Age of Ultron 10.1 or whatever that is.
10.1.
Yeah,
something.
Exactly. Exactly. Is that's what... One?
About to say.
Oh, I was going to ask. I was going to say, does that come out next week or... or is that later? The 10 AI.
I'll look. Go ahead, Tim. Okay.
That might have been all I had to complain about. And Angela. I was complaining about Angela. Introducing a character that 75% of the reading audience has no clue who she is.
No, whatchamacallit? Didn't somebody do an interview that said it was 95%?
Yeah, I saw that too. I was like, dang, am I percentage?
It is coming out next week. The 10 AI is coming out next week.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to see what that's all about.
I think Tim and I were reading similar articles, and I have one gripe with this article where they basically call a generation of comic book readers 5 years, right? That's one generation of comic book readers. So what they say is, if it's been 20 years since they introduced Angela, like they introduced Angela in like 93, basically. And 20 years have passed. It's four they call it four generations of comic book readers, which means I have been reading comics for way longer than that. And so is Adam Black.
Old heads.
Yeah.
How many generations?
At least five or six generations for myself.
That is crazy.
Five or six.
Same. We're the same. Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I Angela came out at the end of high school for me. You know, that's how far back it goes.
It was almost the end of high school for me too.
So that's the deal. And if 95% of the readers don't know, I must be in that 5%. Protest that, bitches. I'm in the 5%.
I'm a 5%er.
Hashtag 5%.
That's right.
So I was saying, I'm sure Angela will have something to do with the next big Marvel event in 2014. That's my guess.
Well, you don't think she's going to have a big role in Infinity?
Because
they're going to push her. They're basically pushing her right into Guardians of the
Galaxy. I mean, she'll be in it, but I don't think she's going to have that big a deal to do with Infinity. I don't know why. Just because she hasn't been around for any of this lead up to it.
You know what? I read a comment on one of these articles, and I wish I could give proper credit to the person who left this comment. But basically what the comment just said was, this is the scenario as he foresees it, where all of this time travel stuff, everything goes to hell, and there's alternate universes and alternate Marvel timelines kind of crossing back and forth with each other, right? And Angela's there, and all sorts of hell is breaking out. And at the end of it all, there's one guy at the end, kind of an average-looking guy, and he just says one word, Kimoda. That's a Marvel Man or Miracle Man reference. And then,
oh God!
Right, and then everything. I can't give credit to this guy. It was just a commenter on one of these articles.
Oh, okay.
And when I read that, I was like, you know what? That's probably what they're going towards. You know, it's all going to turn to hell in a everything's going to hell in a handbasket, and that's when Marvel Man hits the scene. That's
another character I don't care about.
Yeah. Well, then I'll be in the 1% on that one. Hate me, bitches. You know? Protest me. I'm in the 1% that actually does care. So, you know, we'll see how that works. But when I read that particular comment, I thought that was pretty intelligent. That was a pretty, you know, kind of a logical progression of the stories that have occurred up till now and where things might go in the future. So we shall see. You know, we'll look back on this recording and be like, yeah, man, we were, you know, prescient. You know? So, all right. So what else we got on Age of Ultron? Adam Black, your thoughts?
Overall, it just underwhelming. I mean, did they have to go through all this trouble? You know, did they have to go through all this trouble to polybag the issue and, you know, keep it out, the solicits and all that stuff? I think it was just, you know, once I finally read it, I'm like, okay, you know, it's cool. I want to see the effects of the space-time continuum, whatever, fuck it, being messed up. That's the only thing I want to see. But otherwise, I'm like, they could have kept this. This could have been unbagged, and it would have been cool.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. They just wanted people to buy it. They wanted people to walk out of the store with it. You know, for the stores that didn't, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, have an open copy available for people to look at.
Oh, yeah, I got some feedback on Twitter. Dirt Geekus, in all caps, Age of Ultron 10 was a waste. A total waste. He also asks, how come Immortus and Kang's machination never ruined a timeline or even Doom or Rachel Summers, etc.? Exactly.
That's probably because it's more subtle. It's supposed to be more subtle, but you know what they're going to say, right? They're going to say that all of this has been building up to this.
Yeah. We've had this plan forever.
Yeah. All the time travel shenanigans has been building up to this, you know? And don't get me started. Oh, we got a book this week I got some real, real issues with involving time travel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, real. Like, yeah, beyond Age of Ultron. Can you believe that? Beyond all this stuff, I got some real issues with the book this week.
Avengers number 14, my man Stefano Caselli on art.
So it was good.
Obviously one of my favorite books of the series so far. It's a little less Hickman mumbo jumbo. And, yeah, so we applaud that here. And so it's basically the origin sites are trying to, I guess they're communicating or to send these signals to each other and trying to, I guess, I don't know. It's so hard to explain sometimes what's going on in this event.
My only notes, Tim, seriously, my only notes say this. A good issue with movement. movement on how everything is connected 14 issues into the whole story.
Yeah.
Things
and,
are fine.
And the art was great.
Exactly. You know, this long form writing is a killer to try to keep up with sometimes, man.
Okay. Adam Black, you want to, anything you wanted to add?
I haven't read that issue yet. I was about to, but I just haven't had a chance to.
It's good. You'll definitely see what I mean when I say it's moving. It's moving.
All right. I hope so.
Yeah.
It's moving. Cable and X-Force number 10. One of the better issues, even though I've been enjoying all of them. You know, it's got the Uncanny Avengers in there, and it's like the team has kind of like finally come together, and they're going to try to stop
yes
all these.
Yes and no. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, but go on.
I was going to say they're coming together to try to stop these visions that Cable's having, and Boom Boom's a part of the team finally, officially. So, shout-outs to old-school X-Force fans.
Sure, sure.
It's not Boomer, but Boom Boom. Boom Boom's back.
That's fine by me.
And
I never liked Boomer.
I like her here. I never really cared about her much either.
No, I didn't like the code name.
Oh, the code name, yeah.
The code name Boomer.
Whoever the writer is on this, is it Hopeless?
Yes.
Yeah, Hopeless. I read an article where he was saying she was always intended to be on the team, but they had so many people they had to try to, like, you know, introduce and whatnot that he held her off a couple of issues. That's kind of cool. I want Warpath back.
Is he dead?
I have no idea. He was on the X-Men team. I think he's just
He left X-Force. That's right.
Well, no, I want to say he was on, like, the adjectiveless X-Men, maybe. I don't know what he was on X-Force, but I hope he wasn't killed. But,
It was uncanny. It was definitely Uncanny X-Force or, you know, the Remender X-Force.
Actually, he was on the squad before that. He wasn't on Remender's X-Force. He was on that Clayton Crane.
Oh, that's right. Before they rebooted it. I gotcha. Or they restarted.
Kyle Yost, I think, wrote that one. Craig Yost, Kyle Yost. What's his name? Christopher Yost?
Kyle Yost.
Kyle Yost.
Something like that.
Yeah. One of those K or C words.
So, One second, fellas.
Okay. So, yeah, the fun series. I'm enjoying it. What else we have? I read Captain Marvel 13, which is part, I think, 3 of this Enemy Within storyline that's crossing over between Captain Marvel and Avengers Assemble. It was pretty fun. It was a lot of sort of Avengers trying to brainstorm, and I still don't know or care about this villain that's stalking Captain Marvel, but the issue's fun. I may, since I'm just now starting to read Captain Marvel, I'll see if I'll stick with it long term. Feel free to interrupt if you have anything to say. I'll just kind of run through these. Unless you have something to add.
Okay. Sorry, fellas. What did I miss?
Captain Marvel 13.
Oh, wanted to mention something about this. Captain Marvel 13. This is the issue I would actually recommend to anyone who wants to try a comic book out. I believe it's smartly written and a decent amount of humor to boot. So it's actually one of the more fun reads I had this week. Believe it or not. And if we still can go back to Cable and X-Force number 10,
yeah.
I wanted to throw something in real quick. It was interesting to read Thor as the reasonable member of the Uncanny Avengers. He comes off as the reasonable guy.
Who?
Thor. It's one of two books this week where he comes off as the reasonable guy. He's just like, I think we should do this. I'm like, when did Thor ever act like that? usually he's the guy who's all, you know, we're I'm leading the charge. We're going to go, you know, kick their butts and knock their heads in. And now he's the reasonable guy. It's kind of funny to see the change in characterization.
I did skim that issue And that basically Captain America unloaded on Wolverine because they found out that Wolverine led an X-Force team that killed that young Apocalypse baby back in the X-Force days.
Y'all jumping ahead, aren't you?
And Thor defended Wolverine.
Yeah, we're jumping ahead to Uncanny. Yeah, but see, here's the thing. That's the second book I was talking about.
Sorry.
That's the second book that I was talking about where Thor comes off as the reasonable guy.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You know, let me see if I could come up with the scene. Did you guys talk about anything other than Cable and Captain Marvel that I missed?
I mean, we talked about Captain Marvel and Cable.
What do you guys think of Captain Marvel?
I said I might continue reading it. I've just been reading it since I started on issue one of that Enemy Within. So I'm reading that in Avengers Assemble just to kind of see where this storyline goes.
Well, what did you, I mean? I thought this book of the Enemy Within, you know, arc. I think this is the best book by far of all the ones that have come before.
How do you like the art? I've heard people complain about it.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I think the art is passable. It's not great. It's nothing. It's nothing to write home about. But it's nothing terrible. I wouldn't complain about it. It's not worth complaining about.
Yeah. So you've been enjoying Captain Marvel overall?
It's been tough to read sometimes. It's definitely been tough to read sometimes. I want to give the character a shot, and I like some of the developments, but not all. You know, I definitely want to keep reading it because I don't want to see this particular. You know, see, they want to make her, you know, a viable, powerful character, and I want to see it succeed. But you know, I hope that it succeeds on its own because I can't be the only one reading it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I forgot to mention, children of the 80s will appreciate some of the art in Cable and X-Force 10, some of the vehicles that pop up. The Adam Black knows what I'm talking about. Did you read it, right?
No, I still haven't.
Oh, you didn't
look
at it?
The only thing I managed to – no.
I'm not gonna spoil
it, now you got me curious then.
No, you got to read it.
Make sure to download that tonight.
You got to read that. Through the magic of the internet. That's our code word. Through the magic of the internet.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would definitely. I'm definitely going to read it now that you mentioned that. I'm going to definitely look at that through the magic of the internet and the various, you know, correct way to read it, I guess, is
exactly
the right code word for it.
Exactly. So I'm sorry to keep jumping around. You know, I apologize for having to step away, but yeah, that was definitely something fun to read. So what's next? Are we jumping to what's next?
I'm jumping to some tweets. Dork Geek says he'll be surprised if Cable doesn't grab Shatterstar. I guess since X-Factor ending, he'll be free unless he dies or something. Roddy Cat says Banshee, Thunderbird, Nightcrawler, and any other constantly dying X-Men should have a book. Well, half of those.
They call them the dead X-Men?
Jeez. One third of those is coming back as a Horseman.
The all dead X-Men? Oh my goodness.
Which we'll get to in a minute. Oh, he also says he misses Dexter Soy on Captain Marvel's art, but current art works. It continues to be a well-written book also, talking about cool. Captain Marvel. Dexter Soy is doing – oh, yeah, he's doing that Masters of the Universe crossover with DC. So,
okay.
More news.
Okay.
I'm skipping that, so that's the reason I really haven't mentioned it on this show. Fantastic Four number 9.
Oh, here we go.
Not reading that anymore, but you are.
Oh, we hit it. Oh, I am no longer reading this. Oh. You know, I've been on the fence about this for months. For the last couple of months, we've all talked about it. I know Dirt and Tim dropped this book 2 months ago, and I threatened to drop it last month, and I kept going. But this book, this month, has officially... is the straw that broke the camel's back. That's the best cliche. It's awful. So
what was wrong with it?
Time travel. It's time travel.
Oh, shit.
Right. It's time travel. And, you know, it was just a hard book to read. Every page turn was just painful. You know, and I can't believe this because I usually like Fraction's work.
Yeah, I do too, but
you know, I don't understand why his Fantastic Four is so hard for me to like. You know, and it started off okay, but now it's just degenerated. And I don't know if I want to spoil everything because there's so much stuff to just complain about in this book. You know? Adam Black, did you read it?
Not at all. I have not. I read maybe the first 2 issues of this Fantastic Four title. I gave up. I just threw up my hands, man. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't get, and I liked FF better, but I dropped that too.
Yeah. If I was going to read one, it'd be FF, but
yeah, I agree with both of you. I may keep FF maybe one more month, but right now, Fantastic mm-hmm. Four, there's a lot. Let me just, I'm not going to go into the whole diatribe through because I could literally complain about every page. Like stuff going on every page. That's bad. You know what I'm saying? If it's every page, yeah. It's not good. You know, there's just so much I could complain about. That's the worst part. You know? You know, in all seriousness, they go back in time because Ben Grimm feels guilty about maybe he's the one that's responsible for Dr. Doom becoming Dr. Doom because when they were in college together, he messed with the experiment that Doom was working on that literally blew up in his face. And that's the premise of the story. And throughout all of it, it's completely ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. You know, I'm not going to go into what
happened. Wasn't that brought up before?
I don't know. I don't know if Ben Grimm had anything to do. Everyone always just presumed that, And what they basically say is that no matter what Ben Grimm did, it would have happened anyway. You know, so what was the point of me feeling guilty about it? That was the whole point of the story. It was inevitable. Doom is inevitable. That's one of the lines. It's awful. It's awful. So, you know, I'm literally dropping the book. Like I'm picking the book up this week, my physical copy, and then I'm taking it off my pull list. It's gone. I can't believe that I'm doing it, you know? I've supported FF on and off for years, but this is it. This is my my tipping point. So I'm sorry for the diatribe, but that's what it is.
Okay. See what else is on the docket. So it was FF or Fantastic Four. And Indestructible Hulk number 9. I liked this issue. It was fun. Guest star Daredevil. Of course, I got to bring up the art by Mateo Scalera. How do you say his last name?
It's fine.
Used to draw Secret Avengers, I believe. I think. Yeah. Sounds about right. But now I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hulk were finding some illegal arms dealers, and it goes to in the Hell's Kitchen territory. And the person that Bruce Banner has been checked in with once a week is Matt Murdock, his lawyer. So he's kind of like keeping him in check just to make sure like S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not doing anything with him. So he makes a call to his lawyer every week. And then there's like a cool little part where Daredevil is able to like talk down the Hulk from killing a bad guy. And Maria Hill's like, how did you do that? He's like, it's not yet. It's not by yelling at him. You know, he doesn't really understand what you're saying. It's all in how your tone of your voice and how you speak to him. And I think it's going to cross over into Daredevil. I'm not entirely sure, but it sounds like
I thought it.
Or has it already?
I think so.
Okay. But yeah.
I think at some point it will. Yeah, I like this issue a lot too. There's a neat little twist at the end that we won't spoil. We try to spoil some things, not everything. you know, it's just the way we're working it right now. There's definitely some cool team-up bits here. You know, one bit that I particularly liked is, you know, Daredevil comics are full of these scenes where he goes to kind of roust out a dive bar where bad guys tend to hang out, and the Hulk accompanies him to this bar, where he's going to look for information, and it's kind of there's a comedic sequence that's well drawn and well written here, and I kind of appreciated it. You know, if you've been reading Daredevil for a long time, you've seen this particular scene done 100 times where Daredevil's, you know, beating up a bunch of lowlifes looking for information, and it was kind of funny to see a different spin on it.
Roddy Cat brings up, it was brought up in Fantastic Four Age of Ultron issue that Ben Grimm was responsible for Doom's accident. I remember reading that. I totally forgot.
Yeah. Well, it was speculation. You know, I don't think it was actually, you know, the case.
Okay. Morbius Living Vampire number 6. Not reading it anymore because it's about to end.
I wish Classic was here. He's probably still reading it.
New Avengers number 7, finally get some more, at least the start of a confrontation between Black Panther and Namor.
Yeah, a little bit less mumbo jumbo in this one.
Yeah, more dissension in the ranks perhaps, especially when two of the team members aren't getting along.
You know what's funny about this is that I feel like there's better Reed Richards character development here than there is in the Fantastic Four book.
Yeah. It's
well written.
And it seems like I have been enjoying New Avengers more than Avengers lately.
Probably it's a little bit less wham bam thank you ma'am type thing. You know, and there's fewer characters to focus on. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a singular focus is, you know, stopping these worlds from colliding with our world. Avengers has like kind of that going, and they had the new Guardian, the new universe people for a little bit, and then the origin sites and stuff with right. AIM and Savage and, Land stuff.
And explaining some of the new characters too.
Yeah, who I don't like some of.
No, they're okay.
I don't like Hyperion.
You just don't like the Superman analogs.
Yeah, tired of these people. Give me more Smasher. They haven't done anything with Smasher since they showed her.
She showed up in this issue.
Yeah, she showed up, but she doesn't do anything.
Well, like we said, there's a whole bunch of them.
They want more female books. Smasher or Cosmic solo books.
That would be interesting.
No one knows anything about her.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I think if someone pitched the right story in that on that, I think they would greenlight that. I think so. Go for it, Tim.
Yeah. Roddy Cat says, it wasn't speculation. Ben told Franklin and Valeria in a Hollow video during that issue that I guess that he caused.
Yeah, it was speculation because in this issue they established that it didn't matter.
Oh, they retconned it?
No, they didn't retcon it. They just explained it further.
Oh, okay. Thunderbolts 11, I skipped.
Nope.
Ultimate Comics Spider-Man 24, the last book I read before the show started. This was basically a Cloak and Dagger origin issue with some Miles Morales and supporting cast tossed in. So I guess there's a bunch of scientists that work for Roxxon company, you know, the evil company. So we had like Nathaniel Essence and Samuel Stern. Is that the leader?
Yes.
Right.
Layla Miller and some Zola. Armin Zola.
Armin Zola III.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an ancestor of Armin
Zola. So they did experiments on Cloak and Dagger, or Ty and whatever her name
Tandy.
Is. Tandy. Who names themselves Tandy? So they were dating.
Hey, they called computers Tandy back in the day, right, Adam Black?
Yes, I remember that. Tandy. Remember
that. We're going to pretend like we don't remember that.
I remember that.
But, so yeah, we see that they're experimented on, and Miles still doesn't want to be Spider-Man. Yada, yada, yada.
Right. And Gwen Stacy's trying to get him to get over it. And, it's a tried and true thing. It's, you know, she's like, you know, you got to get up. You got to get up. You get knocked down. You got to get up again. Like a Chumbawamba song. It's a trope in superhero comics.
You know,
I was happy to see Cloak and Dagger. I kind of like the twist on, like, you know, the 616 Cloak and Dagger. The origin was that they were runaways, and it was nice to see that they were like a bunch of, you know, like overachieving nerds and class president types who, you know, got into this prom night accident, which led them to be experimenting on. You know, it's kind of cool that, oh, you know, they switched it up. They made them, you know, like really smart kids who are still in over their heads, but, you know, they're not
running. They're actually dating.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of being like, starting this weird, creepy relationship that they have in the 616 universe.
I don't recall if they were dating. I think they were just friends.
Yeah.
They were like in this weird non-friend zone.
Yeah, go ahead and just have them hook up already. Ty or Tandy's down with Brown.
That's
best way to describe it.
I just want to say that Ultimate Comics Spider-Man is probably like one of is like the book I look the most forward to reading every month. I think there's some stuff at DC that I like reading, but this is probably, at least as far as Marvel goes, this is like my favorite title to read. I'm digging in. I'm glad. I like the art by Marquez. Very good.
Yeah, art was great. Colors are good on it too.
Yes.
It's funny that you mentioned the art of Marquez. Wasn't it nice that they had Marquez draw that bit in Age of Ultron?
Yes.
You know, where it kind of
that was
made
a very nice touch.
Yeah, like it made it appear like, oh wait, we are switching over to the Ultimate Universe when you see his art, you know. So I thought that was a nice touch. I'm a big fan of this series, and I really don't want them to move Miles into the 616. I like where he's going with these characters, with this setup.
Oh yeah, since that's brought up finally, I guess we can talk about the rumor that's going around the internet of how so. The Mighty Avengers has the, you know, the I won't say the all black cast because there's Latino.
No, it's the people of color cast.
Yeah, the minority cast, minority Avengers. So, you know, there's rumors that Miles Morales is the Spider-Man that's going to be in that book. Because I guess supposedly in solicits, there's like a tease of like a someone dressed up in the Spider-Man Halloween costume. And, you know, who Miles' first appearance in the Ultimate Universe, he was wearing a Spider-Man
costume.
Halloween costume. So, but then it seems like it's too early because Mighty Avengers comes out during Infinity, which is, they announced Mighty in September or October, I think. Which I guess by the time Hunger ends and a couple more issues, they could have. It seems like too quickly to have just Ultimate Universe be gone and him over in our universe.
I agree. But it might be the 616 Miles Morales. That's the thing.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
That is true.
You know, like, you know how Peter Parker looks up, you know, in that Spider-Man limited series? Peter Parker looks up Miles Morales in the 616, and I believe the last panel has him saying, you know, with that oh my goodness look on his face. So
yeah,
that might be who he finds.
So that's just something to think about.
Yeah, it's some speculation. I, you know, like I said, I really wish they keep, you know, if they keep one Ultimate book, if there's only one Ultimate book, it should be this one.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's my I'm reading two Ultimate books now because Ultimate Comics, The Ultimates 26 came out, which I started reading with 25, and the new story arc of The Ultimates Dissembled. This is a fun issue. So basically, the bad guys are Lady Kang, or Female Kang, Reed Richards, Quicksilver, and Hulk. They have two Infinity Gauntlets, but I guess not all the gems yet. And, you know, the Ultimates are trying to stop them. Tony Stark has a tumor that's sentient, which I'm just now learning, called Anthony.
Yeah.
What else happens? Oh, we have Ben Grimm makes an appearance here. And Hulk and Thor fight. and other stuff happens. And then it looks like an Infinity Gem comes out of Stark's head at the end of the issue. Right. That kind of confused me.
It was kind of. I agree with you, Tim. This was there was lots of fun battles in this. And what I wrote, my notes said, the Power Gem is apparently in the last place Tony Stark would look. So
his head,
right, the back of his head. It's like, what is that humming?
What is that humming? So, it's coming from you.
Exactly. So I don't know if I would, if I weren't reading this academically, you know, for academic purposes, I don't know if I would pick this up. But I definitely think that they're bringing this disassembled arc in a good direction. So, you know, bravo to, who's writing this again? Is this Fialkov?
Yes, Fialkov.
I give Fialkov a lot of credit. He's definitely making the story interesting and putting in a lot of action beats and sequences that are pretty pretty involving and pretty interesting and keep the story moving along.
Roddy Cat says, I wonder if Miles Morales will try to get with Kate Bishop if he comes to 616. He is supposed to in Ultimate Spidey, I read. Yes, when they do the one-year time jump in Ultimate Spider-Man, we find out that Spider-Man Miles is dating Kate Bishop, the ultimate version. Kate,
right. Who's not Hawkeye.
And, yeah, I don't, okay.
Yeah, so, she's just normal.
Yeah, Dork Geekus asked, so the Power Gem is Anthony, the tumor? I guess maybe, because Anthony went away, he evaporated or something. It was weird to, like, follow in the panels. Like, Anthony, like, went away, and then didn't a villain show up? Was it Kang?
I believe so.
Yeah. And then, like, it's just, like, a bit close-up on the back of Tony's back.
Oh, no, it was Quicksilver.
Head. Oh, yeah, Quicksilver. Yeah, it was Quicksilver. Like, this big light shines on the back of his head, and then, like, the issue ends. So, yeah, I guess that makes sense. The gem was maybe...
And giving him the power to have a separate consciousness.
Yeah. Okay.
Could be.
All right. Yeah, that's Ultimate Comics. Ultimates. Uncanny Avengers number 9. Loving this book. One of my favorite Marvel Now books.
Marvel Now!
It's Avengers versus X-Men all over again in this book. Because, like we mentioned earlier, the Avengers and the rest of this Unity Squad finds out about the X-Force Kill Squad led by Wolverine killing the child Apocalypse Genesis. And then Cap gets all mad and
gets all up in the face.
Yeah, gets all up in his face. And then Rogue is like, he may respect you, but I don't.
That's crazy.
With the neck snap.
That's crazy.
Wasp is all, I'm not being on a team with a killer like him. He shouldn't be an Avenger. And then Thor steps up and says how, you know,
Wolverine. I fought with Logan.
Yeah, I fought with Logan. He's worthy. He's not the only one with secrets. And talks about how, you know, his enchanted axe, or whatever, however you pronounce it.
Yarn.
Yeah.
Gets, you know, the weapon that the Apocalypse Twins are using to kill Celestial. But, you know, they're Avengers, so they don't mind Thor, you know, doing something bad. So Wolverine leaves and takes the mutants with him, mutants being the other X-Men, like Rogue and Sunfire. And Thor leaves with them, and Havoc stays with the Avengers group because he wants everyone to get along.
Yeah, this is, you know, we were talking about this earlier. We were kind of moving, jumping around a bit. And this is one of those issues. This is where I was talking about, where I was happy that, you know, that Thor is kind of coming off as the reasonable guy. But I'm not very happy with Remender's writing of Captain America in this issue. This whole Unity team thing, I know what it's supposed to do, but at the end of the day, I don't know. You know what? Come to think of it, I don't know if they've established a chairman of the Avengers. They usually do. Like, I don't know, like, who's like the supreme commander of the Avengers? Isn't it Cap? Like, wouldn't he still be, even though, like, the he's on this team and Havoc is supposed to be the leader of this team, doesn't, you know, Captain America still have say over all the Avengers team?
Well, even Wolverine calls him out, calls Havoc out. He's like, you know, the real leaders of the Avengers already made their choice. I like how they keep keep bringing that up. It's like, you know, he's like
they were always on the outside.
Yeah, and they're, you know, he isn't the real leader of this team. He's just like the
figurehead.
The figurehead.
Right, but at the same time, you know, they still write, you know, to serve the story, they write, you know, Cap like this overbearing guy, you know, and they write Rogue off as like kind of, you know, as this
she's always mad.
Exactly, and we both know that's not the way these characters are written in other books, but for the purposes of the story, that's how they're written.
One thing I didn't like was the long Rogue Scarlet Witch debate in the danger room. Like, at one point, I just like kind of just started beavering it. I was like, okay, yeah, y'all don't get along, blah, blah, blah. Mutants and humans, blah, blah, blah. I heard this before in the first three issues of this arc, of this series.
Right.
Enough is enough already. So now my guess is, since like both teams have split, it's like next issue of deal, like, once half of the book will be Cap and Havoc and them doing stuff, and then Wolverine and Thor and the other Rogue and somebody are doing stuff. But we also had the four horsemen
introduced,
which are
a good look at them.
Sentry and Grim Reaper, Dakin, and
Dakin,
yeah. Banshee.
So that's gonna be cool to watch.
Mm-hmm. This was a good issue. I like this issue.
Yeah, I like how they gave.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I like they gave Manchi the Black Bolt wing cape thing. Thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
Made him look all official.
That is cool.
What I was about to say. Shit, I can't remember now.
I had a question for you, Tim.
Yes.
Are you coming around to Acuna's art?
I am. I like Acuna now. I wouldn't pick him as one of my favorites, but I've learned to appreciate his artwork on this book. It comes out monthly, so.
That's a huge plus.
It's better than we were getting before. I still,
yeah,
I guess I can see him on this book long term. It wouldn't turn me off. I was gonna say
just leave Cassidy on covers.
Yeah, let him sit the covers. Damn it! What was I gonna say? Was it about the Four Horsemen? Maybe. I will. I'm taking too long.
It's all right.
Let's see. Got some tweets I can read. Dork Geeka says, guess Wasp still has something to get a little Havoc. Call that the Bendis effect.
Yep.
Isn't the Grim Reaper some sort of weird undead anyway? He's been killed a bunch of times. That is correct. At least that's what I've heard, because I don't know anything about Avengers villains.
That was my understanding.
And isn't Sentry overkill as well? Yes and no. I actually like... Remender said in some interviews the first draft had Ares instead of Sentry, which I've been saying I want Ares to come back for the longest, just because I don't know, him and Hercules, get some more gods besides Thor in the Marvel Universe.
Hercules.
Yeah, where's Hercules at? Where's Hercules? And I want more Black Cat, Hercules, and Warpath.
We should do that. I was about to say, we should have a poll. We should do a poll for the next show. Like, all right, who are the top three Marvel characters you want to see brought back into prominence or prominent position?
But I think they said Brie Vort, him and Remender and Brie Vort talked about it some more, and then they settled on Sentry instead of Ares, especially with like the tie of how Thor killed was involved with killing Sentry, that it made better sense. Yeah, like all these four horsemen, they have a tie to members of the Avengers, this or Uncanny Avengers team. So yeah, and let's see, X-Factor 258. Anyone read that?
I read it. It was actually interesting. I haven't been reading much of X-Factor. I caught a couple of the last issues of the whole going to hell and fighting the devil and all that stuff. And I know that X-Factor is getting ready to end. So it looks like this issue and the following issues up until the last issue are meant to wrap up any dangling plot lines that Peter David may have in giving the spotlight in each issue before the finale to one or two characters per issue. Because I saw on the cover of the next issue that it's Shatterstar and Longshot, the Mojo World people. So this issue revolved around Wolfsbane and, you know, her character development. So I think, you know, it was definitely an interesting read. It's worth reading if you have any interest in these characters. And Peter David's still such a gifted writer that even though I have a cursory understanding of what has gone in the past, you know, in the recent past of this series, I didn't really need to know that much to enjoy him sort of setting up or kind of wrapping up the loose ends of the story. So I definitely recommend reading it if you are a fan of any of these characters: Wolfsbane, Madrox, Guido, the unfortunately named Guido. So yeah, I definitely, you know, if anyone's a fan of these X-Factor characters, I definitely recommend this book.
Okay. So that's all of Marvel for this week. And let's see, just to mention some other books. What did Valiant have? Valiant had Bloodshot 12 and Harbinger number 13, which I haven't read either. But I will read Harbinger Wars once it's over. I've read the first issue, so I'll read 2 through 4 once it's all done.
What are they up to now?
Harbinger Wars 3 has come out.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago. Harbinger 13, just regular Harbinger series, 13 came out, and Bloodshot 12. And then they got like Quantum and Woody starts next month. Okay. We'll start that from the beginning. And they had a tease today for the Eternal Warrior book from Greg Pak and Trevor Harrison. That comes out in the fall, I believe. So okay. More independent books.
That's right. We have to diversify here on the Comic Book Chronicles.
That is right. So that about wraps up the show for tonight, unless there was any other books anyone wanted to mention.
Not this week.
Yep. No, I have nothing.
Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight.
Especially
watching live.
Yeah, we apologize for the lack of sound effects. We're going to work on that. Hopefully Google will get on top of this.
Shout outs to people watching live. Dork Geekus, Roddy Cat, and Variant Dash, all watching live on Twitter. And then shout outs to other people like Ponderous and Class Material, who's not here. I don't think I'm forgetting anyone else. That's usually
PCN_Dirt.
Yeah, PCN_Dirt on Twitter. Follow them. Follow all of us. I'm Tim, DOGG98, Agent 70 is Agent_70, and Adam Black is the_Adam_Black. Follow the Click Nation on all our various social media accounts. And, of course, we'll be back next week to talk more comic book news and comic book releases for the week. More Age of Ultron, whatever. UEC, whatever they name that thing, and I think Batman and Superman number 1 comes out. Let me pull up the list. Yeah, I can start like announcing what's coming out this week. Let's wait for the page to load. So, yeah, also give me a heads up to look to know what to look forward to.
Join us here next week when we talk about.
Yes, as I'm still waiting. Let's see. Come on, Paige. What does Boom Studios have coming out? Nothing I want to read unless you like Adventure Time and Regular Show, which I hear good stuff about. Nothing from Dark Horse catches my eye. DC has Aquaman 21, Batman Superman.
Batman Superman number one.
21. Oh, Green Team is back. Number two. Check that out. I'll decide if I'm going to keep reading Catwoman or not.
There's two Justice League books out next week. Justice League 21 and Justice League of America. Oh, all three. Justice League 21. The Trinity War supposed to start?
I need to start reading Justice League Dark, I guess.
Oh,
Larfleeze number one. Red Lanterns 21. Both books I'm skipping.
Superman 21.
Superman 21. Talon number nine. I'll be reading that. Teen Titans 21, which I don't read anymore.
I read it for academic purposes only.
I guess Wake number two comes out. It's not Wake number one came out last week.
No, it was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, Wake number two is already out. So I look forward to that. That should be good.
I know Dynamite's been hyping this Uncanny number one. I have no idea what it's about, though.
Well, IDW. See if we can get our hands on that. There's a new Godzilla limited series coming out, apparently.
Part 2 of City Fall and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 23. Cool. I'm going to look for that tonight.
That should be good.
Image has Bounce number 2. I'll read number 2 just because I've read number 1. See if it can help its case for me to keep reading. Jupiter's Legacy number 2.
I'll read that and see how that goes.
Yeah, me too. Let's see, Marvel had... Okay, Age of Ultron 10 AI is what it's called.
All new X-Men.
Avengers Arena. Cap 8.
Cap.
Oh, yeah, Avengers Arena teasers. Our friend who died in last issue and Tumblr blew up. What's her name? Nico. Yeah, she may not be dead.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, into that. Daredevil 27, Deadpool 12, FF8, Gambit 14.
Wow, Guardians of the Galaxy. Galaxy number 4, Hawkeye 11.
The teasers for Guardians of the Galaxy have Tony and Gamora hooking up. You can go on comic resources and see comic book resources.
No kidding. The
preview panels. It's kind of funny, actually.
Journey into Mystery.
I believe it's Sarah Pacelli's first full issue of art.
Okay. There's a lot coming out this week.
Yeah, it's a big week. And damn it, I don't have any of these to preview because Marvel messed up their... they had the wrong preview books that I heard.
Spider 18.
Man, this would have been a good week to get some stuff.
Secret
early.
Avengers 5.
It's a big week. Secret Avengers. Ultimate Comics X-Men. Uncanny X-Men. Wolverine.
Uncanny X-Men. Oh my gosh. X-Men number 2. Oh my god.
Young Avenger. God dang. Man, I wish I had. It's going to suck.
That's good.
I'm not going to have enough time to read everything.
We're going to have to do like bullet point reviews next week.
Basically.
So what do you think? Yeah. Boom. Any movies that we're going to end up having to talk about? I don't think so.
Nah. World War Z comes out, but I'm not seeing it this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to qualify for a review.
Shit, that's a lot. Okay, so yeah, so action-packed show next week.
Hopefully we have some sound effects.
Yeah, maybe the sound effects will be back.
You know, otherwise we're just going to have to keep coming up with jokes.
Which we can do.
We'll try.
So for Agent underscore 70 and Adam Black, I'm Tim DLGG.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for watching the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off. IDW. JC. DC.
Chris Claremont, Chuck Jones, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.